You know, I was at a checkout line not too long ago. Have you ever heard conversations at a checkout line? Sometimes they're quite interesting. And there were these two women, and they were discussing all of the troubles in their lives. One woman said, "You know, oh, my back is killing me." And before she could finish, the other one said, "Oh, you know, my knee." And it was like one up on the other. And I remember this other woman said, "Oh, my husband Fred, he's got to have major dental work and our insurance doesn't even cover it." Before she could finish, the other woman said, "Oh, Jim has to have knee replacement surgery." And I wanted to say, why don't you let her finish talking about Fred and his dental problem before you talk about Jim and his knee issues? Not that I didn't care or I didn't have sensitivity toward what they were going through, because certainly I do and I understand it. But there was a song that kept revolving around in my head, dating back to the 1950s, or 60s actually, by a group called The Fortunes. And all I kept hearing was, "You've got your troubles, I've got mine." Right? It was going like back and forth. We all got troubles. And you know what? There's some truth to that, isn't it? I mean, we're all going through something one time or the other. And it's real, and I think The Fortunes got it right. But you see, in the spite of our troubles, and we will have them, and some of you may be walking through some troubled times right now, or maybe you just came out of one, or maybe, you know, in the future we'll enter a troubled time in our lives. God wants us to live a life that's full of joy and peace. Amen. You know, God wants us to live with purpose and meaning in our lives. God doesn't want us to live there and reside there and just stay in the midst of troubled waters. He wants us to have a good life. And I believe that with all my heart. I've said this many times in my messages over the years, and I believe it's a message that's or a statement that's worthy to be heard again, and that is, don't let yesterday's troubles rob you of today's joys and peace. Don't let yesterday's troubles rob you of today and tomorrow's joy and peace. And I would just suggest that in today's scripture that Barbara read, James was talking about the future. He was talking about something to come. In other words, having hope that there's going to be something different that's going to happen in our lives. Now, James doesn't deny the past. He doesn't do that. I think that would be foolish. We all have a past. And some of us have troubled pasts. Some of us could think about situations in our lives that are quite troubling. And I don't make light of it at all. I believe that these were difficult times for us. But we have to take things into perspective. And what do I mean by perspective? And I'm going to ask if... could somebody close this door over here? Anybody, thank you. There's another worship service going on in the other room, and all I could hear is that singing in my head, and it's throwing me off. And I praise God for the singing, but not in the middle of a message. But I've been through troubled times. Thank you, my friend. I've been through troubled times, and I'm sure all of you have. Have you had troubled periods in your life? Moments that have caused you great pain and struggle? Did those times rob you of your joy and your peace when they entered your life? Of course they did. And we can't make light of that. And it's a reality when those situations, thank you, Bobby, when those situations come in our lives, of course our peace and our joy is momentarily sapped. from us. But we shouldn't live there. We don't want to stay in that condition. It's unhealthy. There's no joy. There's no peace. And it's a terrible place to reside in. And God does not want us to reside in that frame of mind, that frame of spirit, that frame of being that will have wear and tear on our spiritual life, on our mental life, our emotional life, and even our physical life. God wants us to be healthy. And I said this many times, there's nothing that we can do to change the past. It's written. It's logged in. It's part of history. There's nothing we could do. We don't have a time machine. We can't go back in time and say, well, you know what? I'm going to readjust what happened in the past. I wish we could, but it's not possible. Now, I have to admit, maybe I'm the only one here, and I probably am, that I've created some of the messes in my own life. I know you haven't. Well, I know you haven't. You all look like angels. You've never messed up in your life. Well, I have. Not today, he says. I have. I've made some good messes in my life, and I'm sure all of us could say that. And there are things in our lives that maybe we didn't cause a mess, but maybe somebody else made a mess in our lives, something that they did that we were not responsible for. But for the messes that we created in our own lives, the Apostle Paul, he tells us that we need to do something about it. So if we have messes in our past that we know we're responsible for, we need to go to God, ask for forgiveness, and change direction. It's called repentance, and it's available. I believe God, and I've said this before too, God is into mulligans. He's into do-overs. He's going to say, okay, you messed up. I got it. Are you sorry you messed up? Are you going to try not to do it again with my help? Then let's change direction and change your life. And I think that's a good thing. And for those that cause messes in our lives, the Bible says that we have to be forgiving. Now, I've said this many times. By forgiving somebody for making a mess in your life does not justify what they did. Don't get me wrong. It's just saying, I choose to let this go. I choose to no longer harbor this feeling of resentment and anger and bitterness. And I'm going to let it go for my own peace and my own joy. And so whether we caused the mess or someone else did, God is telling us there is an avenue and a way to deal with those situations. Not too long ago, I watched the Yankees game. They did lousy yesterday, by the way. We need to pray for the Yankees, okay? And the Mets, forget about it. They need a miracle. But I watched a game not too long ago where they were trailing in extra innings, and they made a wonderful comeback. Now, I could tell you, I could almost see it on the expression of the pitcher's face and the dugout of the opposing team. They thought they had this game in the bag. And the Yankees came back and pulled it out, and they won. Yeah, it was something like that. But you know, I was thinking when that happened, a great mind years ago came up with a great saying, Yogi Berra. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. And it wasn't for the Yankees. I said, oh no, they're going to blow another extra innings game. They pulled it out and they won. You know, each of us have a chance to overcome life's troubles too. We must never allow the previous innings in our life, those innings already up on the board, right? Can't change that. The other team scored runs. You can't go up there and say, oh, let's take a run away from them. The innings are scored, but there's still room for us to finish strong and have a different outcome and win. You know why? We have a winning coach. We have a winning general manager. God is on our side. And we can prevail, and we will. And so don't let yesterday's troubles rob you of your joy and peace today and tomorrow. Now also, if you have some unfinished business, we need to take care of that business as soon as possible. I always say, I heard this pastor, he preached one time, he says, live today as if it was your last day on earth. How would you live your life if you knew that today was your last day? I could tell you, you would live it differently. There would be things that you'd want to do, people you want to meet, things that are going to be extremely important to you in the next 24 hours. And I've heard members of families and dear friends who have relationships that have been broken, who never reconciled. And when the other person dies, I've heard a person say, I have such regret I didn't straighten that out before so-and-so passed away. Folks, we still have breath in our lungs. We could still make things different. We can reconcile. We can make changes today if we choose. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I wish I had told her I loved her. I wish I had visited my mom more before she passed away. I could say that. There were times I was so busy in the ministry, and I said, you know, mom's always going to be there. And then mom was gone. I've heard people say, boy, I wish I had sat down with my father and had some good conversations with him. And now it's too late. Our unfinished business may not be that dramatic, friends, but I want to tell you, most of us have some unfinished business in our lives requiring for us to act and bring it to completion. We need to live today as if today is our last day. Think about if you lived your life like that. Every single day, you live it as if it's your last day, and you would live it much differently otherwise, because we always think we have more time. We always think that, oh, there's room, we'll make up in the future. Listen, there are no guarantees in life, and we need to make things right today while we still have a chance. And lastly, remember that even an uncertain future has certain hope for Christians. James encourages us, be patient and be faithful until Christ returns. Be faithful and be patient. And he says, just like the farmer sows seeds and waits for a crop to grow, we need to be patient and continue to sow good seed in our lives and through our lives. James promises if we live a life like that, we will be rewarded. We will be blessed. Jesus told his disciples, no one knows the hour or the day or the time that I will return. But be patient and be faithful until that day. And he told them, just as he's telling us this morning, some 2,000 plus years later, he's saying, I won't leave you alone. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit comforts us. The Spirit leads us, empowers us, and reveals things to us that need to be revealed. Have you ever said to yourself, boy, I really have peace in my spirit today. I'm glad I did that. I'm glad I made that phone call. I'm glad I said that to this individual. I'm glad I didn't say that on the checkout line to those two individuals. Friends, God doesn't want us to get stuck in our past, in our troubles. He wants us to live fully today, and we can live today knowing that an uncertain future, nobody knows the future, but we could live in an uncertain future with hope, knowing that we have hope in Christ Jesus. I'd like to end, I'm finishing up a book by Stephen Ambrose. It's such a great historical record. He was a magnificent writer. It was about D-Day and the invasion of France by our troops and our allied forces. I think some of you have a picture in the back of your mind what that looked like if you saw Saving Private Ryan and the immense firepower that those men came under on that day. And when the troops from the 82nd Airborne, the 101st, were dropped behind enemy lines, and how airborne is right, I could say that. They were fighting in hedgerows that they weren't planning for, and there was chaos and shooting at one another, and it was just a total crazy day in the life of our history. And it's the story is great. And so I was watching this segment on History Channel, and they were interviewing military personnel who are now senior citizens who took part in that battle on D-Day. And they were reminiscing back when they were 17, 18, and 19-year-olds who stormed those beaches. Kids, teenagers. And one infantryman said this, and now he's old and he's feeble. He's got a cane. And I want to quote his words. He says, "Before entering the service, I rarely attended church. In all honesty, I raised some hell in my younger years. I didn't have time for God. I felt that I didn't need God, frankly. But when you're crouched down on a landing craft, about to drop its tailgate and dump your butt on a beach where the wave of men before you have all been shot to pieces, all of a sudden, all of your ability, all of your cockiness, all of your self-confidence are not enough. All of a sudden, I found myself knocking on God's door for help. And I said, 'Lord, see me through this, and I promise I will change my life.'" You know what I was thinking when he said that? No matter what happened on that beach landing for this now senior veteran, the minute his combat boot touched the sand of that beach, he had already changed. For whatever reason, he changed direction. And we can too. Because all of us are in a battle, maybe not D-Day, but we battle against sin, and we battle against bad decisions, and we battle against the horrible news that we watch on TV, and we battle against in-laws and outlaws, and all kind of, we battle sickness and illness and disease, relationships. We're all in a battle, but we could change our direction as well. So don't let your yesterdays rob you of today and tomorrow, of its joy and its peace. Take care of unfinished business while you can. Call that person. Go to that person. Write that person. Straighten out what's broken in that relationship. Know that an uncertain future has a certain hope for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I ask you, how about you? Are you stuck in your past this morning? Are you struggling in your present condition? Are you worried about your future? Yes, you've got your troubles and I've got mine. The Fortunes were right when they sang that back in 1965. But don't let them cripple you. Don't let your troubles cripple you. Don't let them deny you of all that God has planned for your life and mine. Amen. Amen.